In the Episcopal Church, we baptize on Pentecost because we recognize the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. Imagine a community moved by the Spirit, in which everyone is safe and in which no one is quite so comfortable that they want to sit back and just admire it. That's what we're called to be. So what do you think was on the mind of those disciples who arrived a little later to the gathering at the apostles' house in Jerusalem on the first Pentecost? I think they probably expected a regular worship service. I wonder if they heard that powerful rushing of the wind as they were walking along, or if they just ignored it. Can you imagine coming to church about maybe 10 or 15 minutes late and arriving to see the entire group gathered and everyone speaking loudly and in different languages than they normally speak, and they have little tongues of flame coming out of their heads? Would you turn and run, or would you go in and see what was going on? Because that's really what happened. I see Don's laughing, but it's the truth. That's what happened. I think it must have been exciting, because it's been reported. Someone stuck around to write it down. But I really doubt that anyone was comfortable, because, let's face it, it is a little weird to have fire coming out of your head. We have domesticated the story of Pentecost, you know that? We've really made it rather tame for use in church. And I love our song about the sweet heavenly dove, but the coming of the Holy Spirit, it was more like a barely controlled hurricane. The word that the book of Acts uses is a powerful wind. It's a gale. And when the Holy Spirit comes roaring into the life of the followers of Jesus, everything changes. The little group of disciples is suddenly on passion, on fire, with passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And each of them, with their different skills, their different backgrounds, their different gifts, they are all essential for the proclamation of the kingdom of God, which is present among us. We don't get to build it. God already did. We're just the witnesses to it. So today, we baptize a baby, Eva, marking her as a member of the body of Christ. And again, we really don't do this ourselves. It is the power of God that has already done this. Baptism is a very ancient ritual, and as the world has changed over the last 20 centuries, the way that people participate in a spiritual life has come to mean different things. We are confirmed as members of the body of Christ. We are not conformed to just one model. We don't have to match one another perfectly. We're not baptized into spiritual uniformity. The Holy Spirit invites us each to be in relationship with God through Christ in our own particular way. And the Holy Spirit expects us all to do our share of the work of proclaiming the good news of Christ in the world. Holy Baptism recognizes that each of us is already a beloved child of God. We are washed in water and marked with a cross, which signifies that we want to follow Jesus. If we use the older term, which was christening, remember christening? We might understand more deeply the meaning of what's happening. Because this is not just a ritual that's completed by the end of a church service. The sacrament marks the beginning of a new sort of life. Each baptized person is invited to be christened, to become a new Christ, an incarnation of God's eternal love in the world. Have you thought of yourselves as new Christs? Because you are. The adults who present the child and the members of the parish who will voice their support for this child as she grows up, we all promise together that we will be agents for God's work. We promise that this will be a safe place for each baptized person to grow up into who they really are. And that's an enormous responsibility. If it makes you a little uncomfortable, well, good. That means you're paying attention. The good news is that we don't have to do this all by ourselves. We're not alone as we promise these things. The Holy Spirit, who can move into our lives with the force of a gale wind, will give us the strength we need for this important work, for this commitment, for this new way of life. And the questions each of us needs to ask ourselves are, what sets my heart on fire? And then, how can I use that for God? Because we are each supposed to be on fire with the power of the Spirit for the sake of God in the world. Whatever sets your heart on fire is what God needs you to do. And that is the practical response that we need to embrace following a sacrament. It's a spiritual expression of life that is renewed and will continue long after the sun sets on this Sunday. So the arrival of the Holy Spirit always brings us new life. Our life in church is not the same as it was 25 or 50 years ago. It's new, just as each morning is new. And while some people grieve over what we may have lost in terms of membership and money, we can also rejoice over what we have gained in terms of commitment, diversity, generosity, and passion. Because the people who go to church now are those who actually want to be here. We're not coming here because there's some sort of social expectation that we be part of a church. God is still in the house, and we get to be with God. So Jesus tells his friends in today's gospel that the teaching of God is not complete when he is going to go to heaven. The Spirit of truth will declare the things that are to come. Jesus infers that he hasn't told us everything. God's work is still going to evolve. Whenever we perceive the deepening and the expansion of the Spirit of love and mercy and justice, we can be certain it is the Holy Spirit at work. And we can really give thanks for that. Because a world that embraces love and mercy and justice is a world into which we would want to send our children. The kingdom of God, my friends, has been left in our hands. Jesus has trusted that we will do the right thing. And Jesus has sent us the Holy Spirit to guide us and to move us forward. All of us are safe. And it is unlikely that we're going to be comfortable enough to just sit back and watch. What new expression of the movement of the Holy Spirit in the world leads you to joy, sets you on fire, wants you to move? What new expression of the movement of the Holy Spirit will you take action for the sake of God and our children? Think about it. Let the church say amen.